Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask that as we meditate upon your word, you might write it on our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a little visual aid this evening for which I need some courageous volunteers. I hope you don't mind that I'm imposing on you in this way, but maybe first, Chris Perkins, you can help me with this if you'll come to the front platform. And when I ask for a volunteer, that's what I'm going to ask you to do. What I really would like is a boy, let's say ages 3 to 5, and you can come with a parent or an older sibling if you have. Is there a boy here who's age 3 to 5 who wants to be a volunteer? We got one? Okay. Thanks, Chris. Come on up. And here, I'm going to give you a couple of things here for my visual aid. I need a girl 6 to 9. Where do we have a girl 6 to 9? Girl 6 to 9. We got one over. Well, boy, it's all from the same family. That's no good. And then how about another boy, 3 to 5? Do we got another 3 to 5 or so? You got like a crowd coming up here. Look at this crowd control. Well, that'll do. They can share. How about, let's go to a little larger, girl 10 and above, a little above 10. We got someone there, right? I see. That's great. And fine, let's see, how about a high school student, let's say a girl, high schooler. Do we got someone high school? Okay, and finally a boy likewise, junior high or so would be fine. 10 or above. We got, okay, fine. Why don't you pass out those gifts to the appropriate age category if you can figure that out. And while you're doing that, I need to share with you, I admit I love everything about Christmas. I always have, even before I was a Christian or had any idea what Christmas was about. I love the decoration. I'm sure a lot of you could share that sentiment. Or the carols, wonderful eating that we get to enjoy, the vacation from school. Children, you can just open those up while we're just standing here waiting. Go right ahead. We want to watch. This is a dry run for the rest of you. You'll have your chance later on. I like the vacations from school. I love even the exchanging of gifts, don't you? I feel a little embarrassed admitting that because I believe it's probably thought to be part of the job description for any self-respecting pastor to decry the materialism and commercialism of Christmas. But I'm aware that tonight I have 3 sons that are with us in the congregation, and I want to be careful that I don't say anything that would discourage them from going overboard and getting some fabulous gift for me. Really, spare no expense, Noah and Joel and Nathan. But there is one aspect about Christmas that's not so great. I love all those various features, but there's one thing that I think even a little child gets and we experience from time to time in our celebrations, and I think these presents will help make the point. Let's see now, what do we have on the lower end of the scale there? We got a Thomas the Tank Engine. Who's got that? I see we got a little Henry, I think it is, right?
So what exactly is your name?
Katrina.
And who's your brother?
Jesse.
And what do you have there?
A train.
Oh, it's a train, okay.
This is made out of wood. It has a magnetic coupler that makes it work with its other parts, but there's a problem. The problem is all they got was a coal car. There's no engine to make it go. Isn't that discouraging? How about, who's got the Santa? Someone's got a Santa Pez machine. Those are amazing. Do you see how it looks just like Santa? And you open up the head. What's your name?
What's your name?
Bethany.
Yeah, Bethany. You just open up the head and... But there's something missing. What is missing there?
Pez.
There's no Pez. Well, maybe we'll do a little better. How about, I think we got some magic cards. Who's got the Marvin The Marvin Magic cards. These are cards, by the way, with which you, just not to cause any envy tonight, but you can perform more than 20 separate tricks with these cards. But have you opened them up? There seems to be something missing. There are no instructions. How about this, the stapler? There's something a little more practical. Let's not belabor this, but who has the stapler?
Oh, I'm Kiri.
This is excellent. A stapler. You also got a little remover of staples. I see it comes complete with that in case you staple the wrong thing. But wait a minute. What's missing?
The staples.
No staples. And finally, we do have a flashlight. This is a high-intensity, I hope you notice, high-intensity bulb. It's anodized, machined aluminum to resist corrosion, provide extra strength. Try it out. What's the problem?
It doesn't have any batteries.
Batteries. The batteries aren't included. Well, you can take those all back to your pew. Thank you very much for helping me out. Well, you know exactly what I'm talking about here, right? It's, you know, the Christmas season with all the hype, all the buildup, the countdown of days till Christmas, all the planning to get together with family members, all the cooking and assembling of necessary ingredients. And how could any celebration possibly live up to all of that hype, right? I mean, it's just bound to be some disappointment. In the area of gifts, how often does it happen? You know, it'll say some assembly required and your heart sinks, right? Or batteries not included, and it's a kind that you don't have any chance of having even if you're to cannibalize every other object in the house. It may be volume 2 of a bird guide and you don't have volume 1. There's always something that makes you mindful that it's just not enough. And even when you've got a present that's got it all together, I think most of us experience this kind of ultimate dissatisfaction. We discover that we're not as excited about it as we thought we'd be. In the magazines, you know, the airplane, the model airplane looks so huge you could climb into the cockpit, you know, but in reality it's like a little tiny box. You have to use tweezers to assemble the thing. So it doesn't live up to expectation. You might think our text tonight, the account of the birth of our Lord Jesus, would be like the ultimate example of a batteries not included kind of gift. Tremendous amount of preparation and hype. 2,000 years of prophecy in terms of the preparation of God's people that's recorded for us in the Old Testament, pointing to the coming of Jesus, describing his person, the circumstances of his birth in Bethlehem, how he would grow up and be filled with the Spirit and accomplish our redemption. All this preparation. And then for the shepherds that night, again, tremendous preparation and hype. Imagine yourselves, those shepherds, and out in the middle of the night you hear the angel breaking forth the glory of the Lord shining around you, saying, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord." Not just born to his mom and dad, born to you, a Savior born to you, the answer to all of your needs. And you know, that's a mouthful when we're talking about shepherds in the New Testament period. You don't want to make the mistake of an unwarranted kind of nostalgia for the rustic life that we imagine was the experience of shepherds in the first century. The shepherds in Jesus' day were the most needy and destitute segment of society it is possible to imagine. The shepherds were to the rural area what tax collectors and harlots were to the city. They were social outcasts. In the laws of Jesus' day, a shepherd was not permitted to give testimony in a court of law. A shepherd could not sell anything. And anyone who bought something from a shepherd was presumed guilty of receiving stolen property. And the reason for this is that shepherds We're grossly underpaid and overworked. Shepherds were despised. In one early midrash, we read, "No position in the world is as despised as that of the shepherd." So I'm telling you, those shepherds had desperate needs that night. Here the angels are just going nuts, praising God, telling the shepherds that all your need is now about to be met in the Savior that is now born to you in Bethlehem. You can imagine some of them thinking, oh great, it's like winning megabucks. Finally, I'll be able to, you know, make ends meet. Maybe there's another shepherd that's struggling with his relationship with his wife or children. Or maybe got kicked in the teeth and has nothing but a string of failed relationships. All the multitude of human need and problems, they must surely have been agonizing over, thinking about, wondering how would this be the answer to it. And then they go and they find not a wise sage who can preach an interesting sermon even with visual aids. Not that you're getting that tonight. But just a baby who can't even change his own diapers. That's the Savior of the world. What's the message? The message is, of course, that what we need is not a little assistance in life. That's what God is telling us. We don't need a few more helpful pointers on how to enrich our experience, some principles by which to live. What we need is someone who will come and live the life we were meant to live as our substitute. Jesus Christ came into the world as a baby. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us in order to start our lives all over, as it were, as our representative. Whatever failures you and I are guilty of, whatever disappointments and heartbreak, whatever regrets we have about our past, in Jesus Christ, we get to have a new past. We get to have an exchange life where His life of perfect obedience is now imputed to us, so that when God looks at us, He no longer looks at poor shepherds who have failed at everything out in the fields at night, but rather He sees Jesus Christ's perfect life of obedience. And in turn, just as we get His righteousness as our ultimate Christmas present, He gets our sin, and He dies for us on the cross to pay for all of our failure, so we do not need to beat up on ourselves anymore. All the suffering that ever needed to be experienced would be experienced by Jesus. The shepherds were pointed to Him as the Savior of the world. Joseph, his stepfather, was told, "You are to give Him the name Jesus because He will save His people from their sins. He's the light of the world." Christy Wilson, a missionary to Afghanistan, tells a story about a flight he once had out of Kandahar. They got into the plane. It was a DC-3. They were waiting, finally, until the steward had completed all the safety instructions for the passengers. Everyone's seat belts were now fastened securely. Everything was all ready. They were already a little late for takeoff, as was typical in Kandahar, Afghanistan. And suddenly, Chrissy looked out the window and saw this man running out of one of the buildings, flailing away his arms. Clearly, it looked like, oh no, we're going to have another delay in the flight while we wait for this passenger to get on board. They'd already taken away the stairway, so they had to, he started banging on the plane, and at last the steward said, oh, okay, and opened up the door, and they reached down and pulled up the man. And it turned out it was the pilot. Many of us are trying to live our lives just that way. We've got it all set. Everything's ready to go. Seatbelts fastened, instructions memorized. But we're trying to run our lives without a pilot. We have no direction. We don't know the light of the world. I know you're feeling badly about those children. By the way, kids, those of you who had those half-baked gifts, after the service tonight, I'll be outside in the back. You come to me, and I'll give you the other part of your gift. And you take that part home. Don't open it tonight. You open it tomorrow, and that will complete your gift. The rest of us, you take the gift that will complete your life. You make sure you receive Jesus Christ, the Lord of the world, the Savior of sinners, the one who will be your pilot. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask that you might enable us to enjoy this holiday of Christmas in a way that perhaps would make it unlike any other Christmas we've ever experienced, because we would know the one whose birth it is we're celebrating, whose name is Emmanuel, God with us. We pray, Lord, that we would open up the door of our hearts and allow you in the confidence that you're the one who stands waiting, knocking, that we might receive you. And so we ask that you might allow us to experience the gift of all gifts in the giving of your only begotten Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.